the best in the world.
I've been the best ever since day one. On this microphone, in that ring, even in commentary. And trust me when I tell you, I am the hottest property in this industry today. Nobody can touch me. The only thing that's real is me, day in and day out. I am the best in the world. Do I have everybody's attention now?
The game don't excite me, it turn my hard head sore. Only fancy people have imaginary friends board. You see what happened, Mikey gets to rapping. No time for wild gimmicks, no time for jokey capping. Old head vibes doesn't mean some bars ain't snapping. Even though I'm pushing 50, ain't a styling jacking. D&D don't F me, when I'm lapping, let me be. SMD ain't kin to me, loyalty has to fee. Anxiety lies to me, saying patient is the key. Know my vices, let me read, now the work is all of me. All of this, my step is pissed, if you're hating, suck a dick. I'm on fire, call me Bic, before I leave, I'm catching lick. Salty thoughts until I rip, no hanging up, I'll torch shit. Salty thoughts until I rip, no hanging up, I'll torch shit. What's happening? Yeah. All because Donnie was dead. Don't mean I don't get nice with this rap shit. Mike Steph. Still the best in the world of what the fuck I do. Always has been and always will be.
No matter how much I try not to cry and I lie to my body and my mind, all my thoughts crucified. I know I ain't fabricating, see the warning signs, even though I close my eyes and pretend to be blind to all the fuckery that surrounds me, closest one near or the ones who clown me. Love hell hides blank faces the bounty, tears raining down, threatening to drown me. What up, people? I said, what up, people? Welcome to another edition of the Salty Thoughts and Mike Steph podcast, featuring a very pissed off, for various amount of reasons, Mike Steph, best in the world at what he does. I wouldn't even say, yeah, man, like I usually do. Want to know why? Because I can see right now, this is going to be a very glitchy episode. I don't know what the fuck is going on with my Wi-Fi. Matter of fact, not even my Wi-Fi, because I'm hardwired. I don't know what the hell is going on with my internet in my house. I don't know what the hell is going on specifically with StreamYard. But the dashing one, yes, the dashing one is very pissed off for various amount of reasons. Reason number one, my wife's lovely picture slid out the screen. Reason number two, I actually hit on a parlay, but I actually didn't hit, if that makes sense. I'll talk about that later. The one thing, the one reason, the one reason that I should be happy is the fact that it's about 32 minutes into Main Event K's birthday. Yeah. I would like to wish my youngest daughter a very, very happy birthday. Daddy loves you. Daddy cares. You know what's so funny about this? You know what? I want to do this. I want to give y'all the rundown of what I'm going to attempt to get into this week. Then I'm going to actually get into said topics. And then maybe in the middle or probably at the end, depending on how long this feed lasts, then I will tell you exactly why Mike Steph is pissed off 9:30, October 9th, 2023. This week, I'll be discussing my New York Jets and their victory yesterday at this point in time in the Mile High City of Denver, Denver, Colorado to be exact, against the Denver Broncos and none other than Sean can suck a dick Payton. Yeah, I'm letting y'all know 4 minutes and 44 seconds, and I'm not talking about a Jay-Z overrated album, that guess what this is? This is the intro. Yay! It actually popped up on the screen. I'm also letting y'all know 5 minutes and 8 seconds into this edition that this would be a very explicit edition because I give less than a fuck how this comes out right now because I'm not redoing it. I'm not editing it. I'm not pressing pause. I'm not restarting over. And guess what? Whatever comes out is the way it's going to come out because I've had it up to here. StreamYard? Yes. StreamYard, I've had it up to here. Because I know I pay all this fucking money every month for pristine internet service. And it's between you and between the optimal cocksuckers that are messing up my podcast right now. Woo! Had to get that shit off my chest. So yes, this would be a very explicit edition if you couldn't tell by the amount of curses. I swear, I think I've cursed more than the last... in the first 6 minutes of this podcast that I've done in the last 3 months. But where was I? Oh, yeah. Talking about my Jets and their victorious outing in the Mile High State, the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, against those Denver Broncos and that cocksucker, Sean Payton. Yeah. Feed the Bruce. Feed the Bruce. And yes, we did. I'll be talking about that. I will also delve into new NYC politics as my brethren from Gimmick Infringement would entitle it. And I will actually hopefully not cancel myself, but guess what? If I cancel, man, maybe I'll get some more popularity out this bitch. I'll be talking about Mayor Benson. Yeah, I know I said I would refrain from calling him Mayor Benson, but in this particular case, it would be very apropos to call him Mayor Benson because Mayor Benson is on one this week. Talking about, or should I say, trying to get a grasp on the rapid influx of migrants into the city of New York. He had to take an excursion out of the city, not only out of the city, but out of the country. Yeah, I'll be talking about that. And last but not least, I will get into the partial reason of my angst in the rapidly rapidly irritating section, or irritating topic of Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head, aka my gambling foray into this week, in which a win is actually not a win. All that, and maybe some more, this week on the Saucy Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. So, you know what I'm going to do? Like I said, I'm going to do, because I noticed, because I've been on some statistician shit, I've been actually looking at the analytics. It'll probably be my best interest to actually get this show on the road. Episode 26, or Sesi 20. I don't know. Episode 26. Sister Ooh, I told you I could only go up to 20, which is 20. Everything else is a struggle. But I know you used to like it how I used to count uno, dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis. But now I'm up to 26. And I don't know if that's the correct way, but I'm probably going to have a lot more Spanish slander on this episode. So I think I'm going to get out while I'm getting this good. So with all that being said, oh boy, yeah, I'm going to be on one this week. With all that being said, good night. Mwah! And goodbye.
You see how slow the headline came up. The headline said the Jets humble Sean Payton and the Broncos.
And yeah, the Jets did at least humble the Broncos. I don't know how well we humble Sean Payton, to tell you the truth. The only good part about this game, tell you the truth, actually, there's two parts. Part number one is the fact that we won, because there's no way in hell that we could have been 1-4 going into next week against Philly, who we've never beaten in the lifetime of the franchise. I think we're 0-9, 0-10, some shit like that. There's no way in hell we could go into that game 1-4, looking 1-5, dead in the face, going into the bye week. Now, 2-4, it's not that much better, but at least it's something that if you looked at the very beginning of the season and you looked at the first six games of this season, you could make a good case that we were going to go into the bye week 2-4. Now, normally, you know who we face after the bye week? We face New York Football Giants, the Dreamin'. And seasons past, in episodes past, that would be a whole smorgasbord of slander that I would have at my disposal. But as I've said on my other entity that I'm a part of, Hidden Gems Football, and I would say this here if I didn't say it before, out of respect to my late brother, I will not have any Giant slander, or at least any intentional Giant slander, spew out of this spout this season. And probably, hopefully, never more. Quote the Raven. But at least we could look on the other side of that bye week and say, you know what? You know what? Yeah, that should be a win. Or at least it's a possibility of a win. You get 3-4. And you kind of try to steady the ship. Right? Okay. This game had me pissed off various amount of times. It took, okay, matter of fact, let me start from the beginning. I don't know what's going on. As a matter of fact, I have a good idea, and I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt. But this pattern of starting these games so slow, both offensively and defensively, especially defensively, you know, the 85 Bears. this pattern of starting the games off so slow really, really, really has to stop and stop now. You want to know why? Because how well a team comes out the gates is primarily preparation. And preparation has to fall squarely on the shoulders of coaching. Now, being the fact that Robert Saleh is a defensive-minded coach, a defensive coach, and Coach Ubrich is a defense coordinator, there should be no reason why every damn game we're fighting from behind, every damn game our defense is getting called like a hot knife through butter. There's holes in our defense. Making our defense look like Swiss cheese. There's no reason for this. We have the talent. It comes down to coaching. And I don't even want to say it comes down to the motor, because our defensive players, for the most part, have motors out the ass. Quinton Williams, Bryce Huff, Sauce Gardner, CJ Mosley. The list goes on and on and on and on and on. I could even take account that, all right, our defensive backfield, our secondary was riddled with injuries. We was missing DJ Reed. We was missing Nichols or Echols. We had Bryce Hall in the starting lineup, which he actually put the icing on the cake at the end of the game with the scoop and score. But I could give them the benefit of the doubt if we was getting riddled through the air. But no, we were getting gassed on the ground by their third string running back. This has to stop. Offensively, I could give them the benefit of the doubt because they're on the road. Zach Wilson is still a work in progress. Our offensive line, unfortunately, is a work in progress because not one, but two. Well, matter of fact, one very important cog of our offensive line went down this week. Elijah Vera Tucker with the calf injury. And unfortunately, with our experience with calf injuries, i.e. Aaron Rodgers, in the cryptic tone that Coach Robert Saleh said after the game and say they're very concerned, that calf injury will probably be a torn Achilles. Even more depressing is the fact that last year, in our trip to Mile High, we lost Elijah Vera Tucker for the season due to a torn bicep. And in his return to the Mile High Stadium, even though they don't call it that no more, he goes down with another injury that hopefully we're not putting him out for the rest of the season, but doesn't look good. That's what the reports are saying. They say they got to look for it. They got to wait for the MRI. That means they need an MRI to confirm their thoughts, to confirm the worst case scenario. It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. So much ridiculous as my fucking streaming right now. But I digress. One of the bright spots of this 31-21 victory was Breece Hall. Feed me. Feed Breece. I said last week they needed to feed Breece. Breece has said it himself. Feed me. This is the first game. Matter of fact, this week marked the first week that the quote-unquote pitch limit, the pitch count, was off. No restrictions. And do you know what no restrictions meant? Breece Hall, 22 carries for 177 yards, one touchdown, a 72-yard touchdown run. And he was eating. Dalvin Cook, six rushes, 23 yards, long of 9. Whoopee. But the distribution in runs and rushes should look more like this going forward. Breece Hall, 22. Dalvin Cook, 6. Use Dalvin Cook on third down if you want. He's more than capable. Tell you the truth, I would say what they really should do, and I know, knowing our luck, we do this shit, and then we have an actual lack of depth in this position. What they should do is this upcoming trading deadline, they need to get rid of Dalvin Cook. Shoot him off for a fourth-round draft pick. Shoot him up for a fourth-round draft pick. Try to get some type of compensation for him. Because right now, I really believe a lot of it is mental when it comes to Breece Hall, because he's probably like, look, I don't know why they got this mother effer in here. All these carries need to go to me. I need to eat every fucking week. I need to eat. And with him, I got to share my plate. Look, I'll share with MC. I ain't sharing with this dude. Plus, he's making more bread than me. Feed me, Seymour. Feed me. But you know who almost was the goat of this game? And I hate to do it. I really hate to do it. Zach Wilson. Yeah. You see what he got in his hand? Yes. For all my younger listeners, I will give you the abbreviations if you're listening on audio. SMD. That's what he's holding in his hand. He was throwing a whole bunch of suck my dick passes. Yes, he was. Unfortunately, the last pass that he threw almost came back to bite him in the ass. Not only bite him in the ass, but bite the team in the ass as a whole. As I'm exposed. And where is my banner? Yes, come back, banner. There you are. Zach Wilson. Here's his line. 19-26 for 73% passing. 199 yards. 0 touchdowns, and that almost costly 1 interception. And that play in itself, I'm conflicted over. Because on one hand, I can understand, and I actually agree with the aggressiveness of go for the jugular, cut the head off. And if he tried to throw a back shoulder throw, and if he actually threw to the back shoulder, Garrett Wilson would have received that, and we could have probably salted the rest of the game. Unfortunately, that did not happen. He threw to the front shoulder, in which Pat Surtain intercepted the ball, and our defense had to be called upon to stand on his head to preserve our victory, in which they did. Quincy Williams sacked Mr. That's right. Strip sacked, to be exact. And Breece Hall scooped up said ball and took it to the house for 6. Yeah, man. It was one of those games in which this mother effer right here. He's coming. There we go. Mr. Smartest guy in the room. I swear, this is one of those games that if maybe, just maybe, the Jets didn't have any extra incentive, maybe the Jets would have lost this game. Maybe if this mother effer wouldn't have opened his mouth during the preseason trying to put himself as the king, putting himself as God Almighty instead of Mouth Almighty, maybe, just maybe, his team would have had his back, just like our team had Coach Hackett's back. Even though Kevin James portrayed Sean Payton in the movie, I will always say that Sean Payton resembles Payton Oswalt way more than Kevin James. Look at him, Spence looking ass. How many times? You know what? Part of me wants to believe that Sean Payton is being exposed for who he truly is, which is a small little man. All those years as the czar of New Orleans, as the czar of the Saints, that one little victory, that one Super Bowl victory. I know, far be it for me to say little when my team hasn't seen the Super Bowl since I've been on this effing earth. But that one victory in which Peyton Manning shit the bed on himself, to be honest, made this dude think he is God's gift to the coaching fraternity. And he did the one thing that he was never supposed to do. Okay, you took over a bad situation. Fine. They hired you. They're giving you $16, $17, $18 million a year to fix that bad situation. Was there any reason to dog Coach Hackett out like that? I mean, the world saw what kind of inept coach he was from the head coach's standpoint. Did you need to emphasize that, re-emphasize that to make yourself look better? Because look, call a spade a spade, your team looks like pure T trash. The offense, where was the offense in the second half? Where was the halftime adjustments? Russell Wilson, for all his warts, for all his faults, I can't really truly say that he's the reason why your team is 1-4. A lot of that has to do with your defense. And who's in charge of your defense? Vance Joseph. Who hired Vance Joseph? You! So, how much of the blame are you taking? How much of the blame should you take? I swear, I think this whole season is a setup. I think Sean Payton came in there, put that narrative up there saying, look, it was the worst coaching job in history to try to give him a safe landing and to try to divert from the fact of this mother effer was going to rob the Broncos blind for the first year until he could get his players in fact. His players in intact. His players into the building. Russell Wilson is not his player. I think the majority of those players on that team will not be on the Denver roster come the end of the year. And I think he's fully trying to tank to get one of the top quarterbacks in the league into the draft next season. I think it's all a setup. I think y'all Denver Broncos fans are being led astray, bamboozled, hoodwinked, if you will. But the best thing about this victory, like I said, or matter of fact, I neglected to say, was Breece Hall. He ate. But the best thing besides Breece Hall about this victory is the fact that Gangrene Nation as a whole was able to stand up, unzip their pants. Oh, what, y'all really thought I was going to expose my shit on YouTube? Y'all really thought I was going to do that? How foolish y'all. Plus, my wife would kill me. They call me the dashing one. Well, should I say, I call myself the dashing one. But if I, anyway, the best thing about what happened this past Sunday was the fact that Gangrene Nation was able to stand up, unzip our pants, expose ourselves to Sean Payton and tell him, guess what? You can suck my dick. Pause. Matter of fact, no pause, because that's exactly what Sean Payton did. And now he has to go the rest of the week with a green residue in his mouth and some exhaust fume down his throat. And never, ever, ever, ever talk about us no more. Now, going forward, this performance that we put forth this week, we're not Hackett. Pardon the pun. Zach Wilson, on at least two occasions, besides the interception at the end, he has to be better with ball security, because there was one fumble that we recovered, and there was another one that wasn't called because they said he was down. He has to be a little bit more precise on his ball placement. And I don't know if this was part of the game plan or if this was him not really trusting his eyes once again. He has to get Garrett Wilson more involved in this offense. He only had 7 targets, 3 catches for 54 yards. And why, like I said, I like the play call, but the execution has to be better. And the defense, we got Philly next week. We got King Push in the building. King Tush Push, to be exact. We got that cocksucker Nick Sirianni going to be on the other sideline. Me mugging the video cameras. We got to put him out of his misery. We got to give them a little Bart Scott justice. Bart Scott said, look, in his day, they did all that tush push. Jalen Hurts, his head's fully exposed on those quarterback sneaks. Guess what? One of the defensive men, one of the defensive linemen, one of the defensive backs, one of the linebackers got to take one for the team and knock him the fuck out. Yeah, I said it. Straight headshot. If he bleed, he bleed. If he dies, he dies. Matter of fact, I take that back. The dies, he dies part. Because I'm not wishing none of that. Joke or no joke. But if he bleeds, he bleeds. I must predict you. And that's what we must do. The only way we are going to be able to beat this so-called juggernaut from Philly, Philadelphia, you know, the Eagles, we must break him. We must take Jalen Hurts and smash him over the knee with backbreaker. We must take A.J. Brown, you know, close confidant of Elijah Moore, and take him and break him over the other knee. That's what we must do. And then when we finish, we must go to the sideline and snatch that scrawny coach of a man, Nick Sirianni, and snatch him over. And you know what we must do? We must take his face and make sure we wipe every nook and cranny of our ass crack with his putrid face, and then throw him away like a sanitary napkin. That's what we must do. That's what we must do. The Jets, just like they made Sean Payton humble, you know, the late Iron Sheik had a saying. And his saying was, he must make the corny jabroni humble. Yes, that's what he would say. Yes. And this is what I mean by the late Iron Sheik making people humble.
All countrymen, make him humble.
Make him humble.
Put him in a camouflage, break his back, and then fuck his ass, make him humble, create respect to our people.
Yes, yes. That's what I mean by the Jets made Sean Payton humble. He will never talk that shit again. He will never talk that bullshit again. And Nick Sirianni, what you gonna do with Gang Green? Come for you. Now, for more serious news, Mayor Benson, Mayor Eric Adams is getting stuff done. Yes, indeed. Mayor Adams, you know, Mr. GSD himself, he's getting stuff done. You know, normally this would be a perfect time for me to segue into some comedic humor, but actually this is not a laughing matter. Look at this mother effer. Mayor Benson this week decided that one of the ways that he could kind of try to curb the major migration to New York by the migrants himself would be to go down to Mexico to observe the border and then probably go further down into South America to see exactly where these people are coming from, why they're coming from, and to try to dissuade them from coming to the city of New York. Saying, yeah, everything that you've heard about bright lights, big city, it's a lie. Everything you heard about, yeah, you come to the city, you're going to get free money, free shelter, free food. No, that's a lie. No, you should go elsewhere to try your American dream, if you will. To me, you know what this screams of? This screams of photo op. You know what this screams of? This screams of mayor not knowing his place. You know what this screams of? This screams of, yo, I'm going to try to get out of my day-to-day dealings of what I really need to do in the city of New York by going on not only a national tour, but an international tour, if you will. Like, what does he think that he's actually going to get accomplished? Does he really think he's going to go down to El Border and tell the people that's coming through the border, the people that's coming through the wall, stop in the name of New York City before I put your ass right back. Stop in the name of NYC before I deport your ass back. Don't you know no good? Like, what did he think he was going to do? Really? Like, did he think that he was going to be like Chris Jericho and break the walls down? Break down the walls of the border! Break down the walls of Mexico! Bring them down! What? Was he going to go down there and brick by brick continue the building that was put in place by the past administration down in Washington? What was he trying? What did he think he was going to accomplish? Now, to call a spade a spade, I've said it before. Something just ain't right with this whole process. There should be a process. It shouldn't be that first come, first serve. No, matter of fact, not first come, first serve. You come and we serve everybody. No, it shouldn't be that way. Is it popular? Is it a popular thinking? Is it popular saying? No, it ain't. But I'm of the belief that we need to take care of the mess that we already have before we take care of other people's mess. I'm sorry. Sue me. See if I give a fuck. Matter of fact, Mia, can you come here for a minute? Yeah, this is one of the benefits of me doing this at a certain time of night, because I do have my lovely daughter that I can ask questions for while I'm live and in color. I have a question, and you could be as transparent as you would like, or you could skirt around the issue as you would like. I'm not going to force you either way. But remember, I'm your father, and I love you. What is your, what do you have any thoughts on the current situation that's going on in the city with the migrants, or should I say asylum seekers?
To be very honest, I don't even know what's going on.
Hey, young world, the world is yours. Hey, young world. Young world, young world.
There's a lot going on in the world. It's just, I choose to live in delusion, you know, that everything is great.
Young world.
I know it's bad. I need to catch up on everything.
You know, there was an old saying, even though nobody hardly listens to AM radio anymore, but there was a commercial of 1010 Winds in New York. 1010 Winds in New York. It's pretty much the 24-hour news channel, right? Mm-hmm. And their commercial was, in 22 minutes, we can give you the world. Okay. Meaning it only takes about 20 minutes a day to be abreast of what might be going on. These issues might actually impact you. Yeah. But like I said, this is not for me to throw stones. I was just asking to see if you had an opinion. But being a fact, her opinion is eh.
I'll read into it. Look it up.
Matter of fact, let me ask you this question. Okay. This is a better way I could ask you, right? Mm-hmm. Do you believe that if it looks like I'm not the only one with a short attention span. if you believe that our city has a homeless situation, homeless crisis, mm-hmm. Has a housing crisis, yeah. Has a whole bunch of things that's on their plate, right? Do you believe it's fair that in some respects, and this is not very witchcraft, this is not word for word, apples to apples, but do you believe that asylum seekers should take precedence over the day-to-day situations of what's going on in the city? As in, the resources need to be put for them and everybody else got to wait.
No.
Sorry. No, it's all right. She's collecting her thoughts.
No, I'm a very strong believer of your home should be taken care of first.
Yes, home should be taken care of first. And this is not no American first mega shit. I'm just letting y'all know right now.
Make sure everything is set, like you're good enough where you can provide to other homes. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Sorry, I'm doing much brain right now. But yeah, very strong believer in home should be set before you go outside, because if it's not set inside, like home isn't great. Then I feel like it's very hypocritical. Is that the right word to use?
Hypocritical?
I know there's a better word to use. I can't find the right word, but it's almost like you put it on a facade.
Okay.
Like, just covering Dookie with a paper towel. And you're like, I'll take care of it later, and it never gets taken care of, but let me focus my priorities, or make other people my priority than home. That's all I can get out right now. I'm still,
I got you. I got you. Understood. Thank you for your astute analysis.
You know what? Ask me next podcast. I'll be more prepared.
Okay. No problem. Yeah. Where was I? Okay. My whole thing is this. When have you ever seen a mayor of a city go out the country to discuss stuff above his pay grade? Now, he does have a vested interest in what's going on, because it is directly affecting him. And how he's being looked at on how he's handling this crisis. Now, I could understand if Governor Hochul, to a certain degree, decided to go down to the border. This is just another part of the grandstanding that we've gotten with Mr. Benson. Like, this is the same mother effort that I neglected to talk about last week, because we did have some flooding. We had some severe flooding in the area. Thankfully, my area was spared. But this is the same mother effer that said last week, when it was being said that, oh, you know, the city didn't do enough to prepare the citizens on what was about to come, about the flooding. We didn't get emergency announcements until 3 o'clock that afternoon. Meanwhile, the worst of the storm had already happened. And his response was, well, if anybody didn't know about the severity of this incoming weather that we was having, they must have been sleeping under a rock. That's not the answer that you're supposed to give, Mayor Benson. But I best believe that if there was an album release, if there was a movie premiere, if there was a Met Gala, if you will, you would make sure you're front and center like you are now. What needs to happen is somebody, once again, somebody needs to shake this mother up and let him know, listen, know your role, and shut your mouth. As a matter of fact, I just said that just so I could use that picture. What it really boils down to is, to me, is this. Eric Adams is feeling the need to have to do this because Washington is not doing their job. Washington is trying to play two sides against the middle. Washington is saying, and by Washington, I mean, yes, I'm going to say it, the Biden administration is pretty much saying, look, we're open. We're not like the other side. Come up, come one, come all. Matter of fact, come on in. And then when these cities, when these sanctuary cities call Washington for some help, like, look, I, you don't put, you send, you letting them send them all the way up here. We need the bread. Oh, hey, nothing we can do about it. Look, your job now, your fault now. Because they don't want to be seen as the bad guy. They don't want to be seen as just as bad, quote unquote, as the other side. And that's the problem right now. And I've said it before, and I'm going to go on another rant and say it again. Our system is broken. Period. It's broken. Because one little known stat that happened this past week, and it's not even really a stat, that it was found that there was a lot of money that was put aside from the previous administration, you know, yeah, Mr. Orange himself, for continuation of building a wall on the border. When this was found out, it was asked, well, why is there still some type of construction? Or why is there money allotted to this? Well, it's already written. We can't do nothing, so we're just going to have to use it. Meaning we're going to have to continue building. Now, I think they said out of the 1,900 miles of U.S. border, the southern border, over 500 miles currently have a wall. So that's what? Maybe about a fourth, a little more than a fourth of the border has a wall. And this amount that's supposed to be built is probably not going to expand that. And I'm not even saying they need to have a wall. We just need to have something in place. Some type of policy. It can't be all and it can't be nothing. It doesn't need to be absolute. Even though sometimes I feel like I'm a man of absolutes. All or nothing. Good or bad. Fair or foul. But the only thing that's absolutes in this world are Sith. For all my Star Wars heads. And everybody knows, a world of absolutes, there needs to be some type of form of gray. Hence why I'm wearing gray today. Has to be. Because if there isn't, then there's no room for nuance. There's no room for discussion. We don't live in a dictatorship. So I'm not saying that we should have zero tolerance, zero policy. You know, a zero tolerance policy. But there needs to be some type of structure. Yes, I know we are the land of the free, the home of the brave, and all that other shit. But there still needs to be some type of structure involved. So therefore, we can continue not being a third world country as if, like we currently are right now. The infrastructure is falling. Which go the climate change and all that bullshit. It's real. And it's like, we're so focused on the way things are viewed than actual reality. This space in the middle, this nuance is being missed. Or in some cases, it being taken advantage of. I don't know. Children, go where I send thee. How should I send thee? I know that's kind of blasphemous for me even saying that, or the amount of curses that I done spew in this podcast, but that's came to my mind for this one reason. And this has nothing to do with the migrant crisis, Mayor Benson, Eric Adams, none of that. I remember when I was in school, first grade, to be exact. I remember we had a class. I don't even know if it was children. I don't even think it was music class. But it was like first or second grade. And matter of fact, it wasn't music class, to tell you the truth. Like I said, I don't even know what class it was. It wasn't our regular teacher. But In this class, we actually learned songs. That was one of the songs. Children go where I send thee. How should I send thee? I'm going to send thee one by one. Then, got the whole world in his hands. He got the whole wide world in his hands. He has the whole world in his hands. He has the whole world in his hands. He has your mother and your brother in his hands. These, I believe, were songs that people sung in church. These were, I guess, religious songs. I learned these in school, not in Bible school, not in church. I learned this in school. Now, I know in this society nowadays, you could never get away with that. Shoot. They're trying to stop in some states, some cities, they're trying to stop Black people from learning about our history in class. But it's all right to learn about King Louis the 16th. But I digress. There was a time that the teacher could actually discipline you. And I'm not I guess it's classified corporal discipline, maybe. I don't remember. And I'm not saying the teachers to be able to smack the SHIT out of you. No, that's not what I'm saying. But it was a threat. It was that my mom, and trust and believe, I was not a bad child in school. Far be it from me to say that. But my mom used to go up to the school and parent-teacher conference and let them know, like, look, you ever get out of his hand, you got my permission to put him in his place. Like I said, it never was needed. I say all that to say this. In those times, people look back 10, 12, 20, 30 years from in the past and say, oh, those are the times, you know, everything was so non-PC. Sometimes not being politically correct actually got stuff done. Being non-politically correct actually gave society some type of structure. Not being concerned about, oh, how many likes am I going to get? Not being concerned with, oh, my God, they're going to cancel me? Not being concerned with superficial stuff and actually stuff that you have to deal with day-to-day problems, day-to-day situations, put some structure in society, make society work. People wasn't so thin-skinned. I'm not saying that everything was peaches and cream back then. I'm not saying there was not a lot of warts back then. But back then, there was such a thing called a latchkey kid, right? You know what a latchkey kid was? A latchkey kid was what they called people, well, called kids that had to come home, actually had the key to their front door to come home because their parents were at work. Because that was right around the shift that there was no such thing. There was no 9 to 5, 8 to 4s. The shifts start varying. Sometimes you had to work 2 jobs. Sometimes your mom and your dad or your parents as a whole didn't come home until maybe like 2 hours after you got home from school. There was the old saying of make sure your ass is in the house by the time the streetlights came on. But you didn't have no real boundaries where you went, where you had to go. You explored. You scraped up your leg. You got up. You put some spit on it. You rubbed it and you kept it moving. You played manhunt in abandoned buildings. You went on journeys. You went on missions. You went to other neighborhoods and saw how other people moved, and you knew, all right, what's acceptable, what wasn't acceptable. And that's what made you a fully rounded person when you became an adult. You wasn't so damn sensitive. You wasn't, oh, he hurt my feelings. Oh, he didn't hold the door open for me. Oh, he didn't like my post. Like I said, everything wasn't peach of the cream and roses back then. But I best believe in some respects, we were a stronger society than we are now. We were more, even though we had our splits, we were a more united society than we are now. We knew what was what and who was who. There wasn't a whole bunch of wolves in sheep clothing as they are now, for the sake of unity, for the sake of positivity, for the sake of being politically correct. Yeah, I really lost my train of thought. But it doesn't even matter, because I think I got whatever I needed to get off my chest. And as I've said plenty of times, on plenty of occasions, a lot of times this is stream of consciousness. A lot of times this is helter-skelter, if you will, rock and ruck. But at the end of the day, this all comes from here. So whether I get 10 views, 60 views, 100 views, whether I get likes, dislikes, doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Because if I'm not being true to who I am, or speaking my truth, then at the end of the day, none of this really matters, does it? No, it doesn't. So with all that being said, Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head. AKA my gambling foray this week. Boy. I'm not gonna stay too long on this topic, but I did tell y'all there was gonna be a reason why I came into this episode very pissed off. And part of it was the fact that I told y'all about the StreamYard and internet and all that BS. The other part is the fact that I missed the parlay by 29, but I missed the parlay by the number 29. That's how I'm going to say it. I missed the parlay by the number 29. And when I say, no, I didn't forget my password. I went against one of the cardinal rules of gambling, and that's chasing a loss. So I had 1, 2, 3. I did 4 parlays there for a net of nothing. You know where I won? I won my fantasy. So the first parlay I had, which is some BS. The first parlay I had was 6-leg parlay, which would have netted me about $500. I had the Chiefs money line. I said, you know what? I'm gonna stop with the spreadsheet. I'm just gonna go straight money line. Listen, if I gotta lengthen it out, because the odds, you know, just ain't stacking up quickly, so be it. But I ain't messing with these spreads, even though neither here nor there. So I had the Chiefs money line over the Vikings, Guess what? Chiefs won 27-20. Yeah. Had the Jets money line over the Broncos because that's my fate. That's another fatal flaw is I can't bring myself to actually bet against my team because I just got too much faith in them. But in this case, I had a feeling. I'm like, look, if we lose against Denver, I don't deserve to make this bread. And guess what? We beat Denver 31-21, right? Now, on this parlay, I had the 49ers money line over the Cowboys, and they spanked the ass, which actually ended up biting me in the ass. They beat them 42-10. I picked the over with the Eagles over the Rams, 23-14, Eagles prevail. Then this is where I started trying to get cute. I had a two-leg single parlay inside my five-leg parlay. And that was the Buffalo Bills over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then I had Josh Allen passing over 225 yards, alternative passing yards. He hit the yardage, but the Bills did not win. So that was parlay number one in the flames. So you know what I did? I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back in. I'm going to go in. Nigga, I'm going to go in. Out for the fortune. Remember when I caught bootlegs down a foot? Cop L&K sold about full time. Catch your mom in my business. All we run. That's how far back in time that I go. Switched up my flow over the years, but you're the same old. Way past the spire. Far from retired. Breaking fucking joy just to keep your ass quiet. Yeah, I'm a show out. Grab the iron, pump out. Yeah, I don't know. I just got in my shit. Eight-leg parlay. Jets, money line, one. Saints, money line, one. Eagles, spread, one. 49ers, money line, one. Chiefs, money line, one. See, this is where I should have just been easy. But I was like, you know what? This is my free bet. Gonna go hard or go home. This would have got me about $900. The Ravens, fresh off their demolition of the Cleveland Browns, they went into the Steel City and coughed up a 10-zip lead and lost 17-10. And because I'm a dumbass, I put the Bills again on this parlay for Moneyline, and they didn't win. So one of those was a no sweat parlay. So I was like, you know what? Let me run it back. So now here's where we go. Chiefs money line, Jets money line. Then I did a two single game parlay with the 49ers. 49ers money line. Then I did Christian McCaffrey over 79 and a half yards rushing. Christian McCaffrey did not gain over 79 yards. He's averaging 114 yards a game, and he could not get 79 yards against the Dallas Cowboys. Who would have thought? On the back end of that parlay, I had another single game, two-leg parlay to put into the big parlay, and I had Eagles cover four points, plus I had Puka Nacua for over 5.5 receptions, and he got 7. But wait, it gets worse. My last parlay of the game, or the day, was my bonus bet. So once again, I said, go hard or go home, baby. I had the Bengals -3. They covered. The Chiefs money line. The Jets money line. The 49ers money line. The Saints money line. No, the Saints covered. Oh boy, did they. I put my heart where my mind was. I put my heart where my pocket was. I had the Giants covering a 12.5 point spread at Miami. That didn't happen. And then the other side of my heartbreak hotel. I had Bijan Robinson for 60 plus yards. And that cocksucker did not go over. So all that, and I didn't even break even. Matter of fact, let me see. That was bonus bet. Okay. No, I didn't break even when it came to my bets. But I did win on a 50-50, a double up, if you will, on my fantasy lineup because Breece Hall, Just D, Puka Nacua, Adam Thielen, they balled out for your boy. So I was able to get some coinage that way. But yeah, it wasn't a great day. Is there any lessons that being learned? Well, one lesson that was learned, and actually I'm looking at these parlays, and it bore fruit. Number one, go straight money line. Just like the mortal Papa. Don't mess with the spreads, bro. Papa, just go straight money line, Papa. Don't worry about it, Papa. Just go straight money line. You know the spreads, sometimes they be juking the numbers, Papa. Don't worry about it. Just go straight money line. I went money line, and I want to say 90% of the money line picks, besides the Bills, popped. And I went against my own saying just for my bias against the Jacksonville Jaguars, because something told me that the Bills were going to lay an egg because they were going over to Europe. They were going over to London. Jacksonville had already played in London last week, and they had the built-in advantage. And yet, Mike must have bumped his mother effing head and didn't go against the Bills. The other one, I can't be pissed off at myself because something, it was odds, right? I could have chosen Christian McCaffrey for any time touchdown, and he kept that streak alive with 14 straight games with a touchdown. But I figured, you know what? That might be pushing my luck. I'll probably be better served because he's averaging 114, 115 yards a game on the ground. I'll be better served by going plus 79.5. And of course, you know how much he got me? Do you know how much he got me? I'll tell you how much he got me in one few minutes. In 1 minute. Uno momento. Christian McCaffrey was the second leading rusher with 51 yards. You know who the leading rusher was? I'll be in garbage time. Jordan Mason. Ain't that a bitch? So, the moral of the story, or the moral of this week's segment of Mike Steph must have bumped his mother effing head, is this. Sometimes go with your gut over your heart, go with your head over your heart, and go strictly money line. Leave the point spreads to the wise guys. Leave the point spreads to the professionals. Even though I am a professional in my own mind, when it comes to reality, i.e. my mother effing wallet, I've proven myself to be not as professional as I would want myself to be. So, ain't that about a bitch? This don't make no damn sense. Now, being the fact that I actually neglected due to various reasons, and you know what? I just realized the Advil kicked in because my neck has been bothering me like a mother. But being the fact that I neglected to make a clip as I normally do concerning my other entity that I'm a part of, Hidden Gems Football with Demo Joe King, I'm going to have to just give y'all a repeat of last week's clips so y'all can get a taste of what to expect when y'all press play on the weekly edition of Hidden Gems Football. Yeah, roll the tape. One last thing.
Oh, I thought you were going to throw a shoe at me because I made a
terrible joke. Oh, it's coming. One last thing. You know what my motto is going to be for this game, for Sunday Night Football? Chin up, Swifties out, and watch for the shoe!
That was weird. Whoever's out there, I hope you understand and will write in the comments whatever just happened because I have no idea. I don't know what's going on.
I told Trusty McTyler this past week that before it's all said and done, I'm going to get that over if it's the last thing I do on these YouTube streets. Chin up. Chin up. Matter of fact, chin up. Swifties out. And watch for the shoe. Watch for the shoe. Anyway, Hidden Gems Football, hosted by the Mojo King and myself, Mike Steph, drop each and every Thursday on the YouTube page of the 19 Media Group. As I told y'all before, and I will tell y'all again, it doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes before Thursday Night Football, if it's 5 seconds before Thursday Night Football, we drop every Thursday to get y'all up to speed on that week's slate of NFL action. Yes, indeed. And while we're on some plugging shit, let me plug the audio version of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast, available on the following platforms: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts, and also Amazon. New episodes drop each and every Wednesday, even though one episode did not drop this past week. My bad. You can check me on X at Mike Stephan _. You can check me on Instagram at Mike _Steph. And you can check me on TikTok at Mike Steph _. You probably wonder why a new episode of a new audio episode of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph did not drop this past week. And I'll be completely honest with you, because I've been in pain. And I ain't gonna lie, a lot of times when I'm about to go on vacation, which I'm currently on right now with my shoot job, my mind be off yonder somewhere. Because I just be wondering, matter of fact, I just be waiting for that time to come. And that time to come is me coming on time. Woohoo! Yeah, I know that was corny. So what? So yeah, I'd like to thank each and every one of y'all for making me and this podcast the one y'all choose to view and the one y'all choose to listen to, because we are currently at the end of another edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph podcast. Yeah, you see how I turned that shit around? Yeah. Next week, I don't know what's going to happen next week. Just like I said, this week we're going to possibly have some current events. And then I said, you know what? My wife, matter of fact, you know what? The dashing one chose to not share the beauty, the aura of Mrs. Ooh to the masses this week, because I wanted to be selfish with the loving, the affectionate, the beauty of my beloved wife. I didn't want to share it with the masses. So that's why we did not get any current event segment or current event edition of the Salty Thoughts of Mike Steph with Mrs. Ooh this week, because the dashing one, stunning Stone Cold, Mike Steph, if you will, decided to be a selfish bastard. Yes, indeed. Next week, I don't know. Will I be that same selfish bastard? Or will I return or revert back to the benevolent one? There's only one way to find out. And that is to check me out next week. Before I go, there was this one picture that I came across today on the timeline. And I wanted to share it with y'all. Yeah, that's what, it says what it says. The lesbians. No shade. I just want to know why they had that on Monday Night Raw back in the year 2002. Yeah, you know, those are some weird days. HLA. And of course, you know, look a little subtitle, the Raw Zone. Boy. Even though I went on that rant about how politically correct things are right now, maybe those were one of the things that was for the better. I don't know. I can't call. Either way. With all that being said and done, I think I need to get out of here because I just have this aching want. First of all, to eat, because my silly dumbass did not eat today, and it's now 1:49 in the a.m. Only thing I ate was about 10 grapes, which is probably not good. And I've had some shrimp and broccoli waiting for me with some garlic sauce, and I've had some grilled salmon that I wanted to warm up. So, but yeah, besides me wanting to eat, I just had this aching feeling. It's aching to continue this for another 10 minutes. But I think if I continue this for another 10 minutes, the viewership that still rocks with me week to week will probably dwindle down to zero. Zero! Miro! So I think with all that being said and done, I need to get the hell up out of here. So until next week, yeah, it's much better when the Jets win, right? Or is it? That's for you to be the judge. One thing before I get out of here, because I was about to press. Matter of fact, I'll press it now so I can actually get out here on time. No matter. Tell a friend. If you're choosing me, you see that little thumbs up sign? Press that. Give it a like. You see that other sign that says subscribe? If you're not subscribed, press that so you can be subscribed. You see that little bell sign over there? Press that so anytime I drop, you'll be the first ones to hear and see it. And you see that that little box down there that says comments? Yeah, use it. Like I said, I don't care if you tell me kiss my ass. I don't care if you tell me, yo, you suck. I don't care if you tell me anything. Just use it. Put emojis. It doesn't really matter. And if you don't, then you don't. Because at the end of the day, Does it really matter? Doesn't really matter. So, like I said, with all that being said and done, I'll see y'all next week. All right? Goodbye.
Man, woman, earth, infinity.
Transforming, flowing, yo, go on. I'm not hot, but I'm hurting while I'm burning warm. I'm like a wizard, I make a blizzard and a storm. Have knowledge from a college with a dorm. And I'm greater than Schwarzenegger. I'm strong, you'll be hurt when I sing a Levert song. I'm storming like Norman, but my name ain't Norm. Fighting is a crime, so I'll drop the dime and go on and on to the tip, tip, top. Give a tumor and some humor, cause I am Chuck Rock. When you chuckle, hit you with a belt buckle and beat you. Eat you with a pig knuckle, don't press it. Yo, you better hit the exit. You need a value pack, your little anorexic. You'll be yawning in the morning at the crack of dawn to the groove. It's your move, your little pawn, one to rip it. Cause if it is specific, I'll just say checkmate. Then move the bishop to queen level 4. Know what's in store? Sing to the king, then take the boar to the crib. Before she can't think again, how I knocked the boots from here to Michigan. I'm caught up.
Man, woman, earth, infinity.
Rock that shit, homie!
the lyrics to take your girl Catherine to the crib, knock the boots to Japan like the little train. I know I can, I know I can. When the boots come back, I knock it to Wisconsin. I'm hot like Bronson, but you know my Johnson is stiff and hard like a diving board with good suspension like a Honda Accord. I'm like Dennis the Menace when I go to Venice and get a lot of love, but not from tennis. I got a lot of fans and friends. I got an aunt named Ferrari and an uncle Ben's convertible rice. And I'm nice and I'll achieve like Dr. King, cause I believe I'm caught up.
Man, woman, earth, infinity.
Twice a month, I have to change my number, cause these girls want a little lumber. Always having beef with 9X. Girls clock me like Timex, send me nasty letters and postage cards. Anything to get the boy a little hard. Is it cause I'm a star that gives a feck? But then Michael Jackson don't get sex, so it can't be that. I'm just unique, large, smooth like the barge, and the physique is stiff. And if you wanna lift up the shirt and the skirt, you'll hit a high note like LaVert. I'm a Casanova, believe me. And why are you wearing that itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini? You know why? Don't lie, I'm caught up.
Man, woman, earth, infinity.
Rock that shit, homie!
Earth, infinity.